Grace and peace to each of you this second Sunday of Easter. Just a quick update. Want to let everyone know that Child's World is operating remotely as much as possible, but that's tough with 2 and 3 year olds. Teachers are putting together packets of materials and have been hand delivering them for the most part. Packets of activities, lessons to their students. There have been Zoom gatherings with the kids, story time and check-ins. We've also applied for the payroll protection plan for the nursery, school, and church. Though we submitted before the money ran out, we still don't know if our application made it in before that initial relief reached its limit. We are hopeful, but also maintaining a realist approach that we've had from the beginning, that we're going to have to weather this crisis just as churches and nonprofits have had to weather in the past on our own. Building users who contribute to our shared expenses are on hold right now with payments. It seemed the most appropriate thing to do at this point. We don't want to lose any of those who help generate financial capital for us. Also, thank you to everyone who have been able to donate financially. This has helped tremendously in keeping us minimally up and running. For those who have increased what they give at a time where we've lost so much, thank you. I can confidently say that with our general checking, we have enough to at least go for another 2 months, maybe 3. But we won't think about what happens after that, because I honestly believe we will never reach that point. The New York Annual Conference of our church is using the conference's cash reserves to cover April and May's pension and health insurance payments for every local church, which helps us drastically. We have no date whatsoever for our first worship back together, but we're thinking about alternatives when we feel a worship team can safely gather for a virtual worship to stream, because I think that will be the first step back to the new normal. Remember that we're not going to take any risk, just as we expect each of you to not take any unnecessary risks as well. Thank you all very much, and now let us prepare ourselves for worship before the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor David, and good morning to all of you. We have been thinking of you and praying for you and your families, and just a reminder, if you want to talk, if there's anything you need, if you want to pray, just reach out to either of us. We're here for you, and you are in our hearts. And let us now start this worship service with thankful hearts. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Although we have not seen Christ,
we love Christ Jesus our Lord.
Even though we do not see Christ now,
we believe in Jesus and rejoice with an indescribable joy.
We have been given a new birth into a living hope
through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead.
Come, worship the living Christ,
whom we haven't seen, but we have come to believe. Amen.
Let us pray. Faithful God, we confess that we have not remained faithful. We have lived as if the things of this world mattered more than you. Our possessions and promotions, our accomplishments. We have not lived by becoming last of all and servant of all as you did for us. We have not remained faithful to your teaching, but have pursued worldly satisfactions. Forgive us. Call us into your ways to live for others. Call us into your ways of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Call us into your ways of seeking the well-being of others above our wants and desires. Call us into your ways. Amen. Listen, God is speaking. Peace be with you. Listen, God is calling your name. Turn away from the ways of this world and turn instead to the way of God, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. You and I, we are forgiven and we are restored. Let us rest assured that God meets all in our need. Let us listen to God speaking and calling our names, and let us follow. Amen.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
The scripture reading for this morning is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the religious leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, he was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Then he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And now let us pray. God of salvation, God of life, your Son Jesus, though he was crucified, he is risen. He lives and he is with us always. Every step of the way, and all our joys and happy moments, but also through all of our difficulties and when we are facing challenges. Your love never wavers. You continue to give us new life, planting the seeds of hope. We see evidence of resurrection all around us, and the blossoming buds of trees, and in voices speaking truth, in healing, and in forgiveness and second chances. New life abounds. Help us to see it. Help us to feel it and experience it, especially now. Lead us away from the dead-end roads and into life. Lead us when we have doubts and when we struggle. Help us to seek life and wholeness for each other. Help us to roll away each other's stones and to lift each other's burdens, and to create a future with hope together while fully trusting you in your presence with us. For we are convinced that neither death, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Romy. You know, it's hard to believe that 6 weeks ago we completely altered the way we nurture our spiritual lives. What's even harder to believe is that Pastor Romy, Veronica, and Victoria haven't left the parsonage, or as I now call it, the compound, in 29 days. And even the last time we left, it was only for a walk on the trail at Hempstead Harbor between Bar Beach and Roslyn. And we passed four other families and maybe another four individuals. Needless to say, it was too many people for my liking. I wonder if that was the reason Thomas wasn't there in the enclosed space with everyone else. The fact that he needed to get out and go for a jog or a walk or take the dog out or just needed a moment to get away from distance learning. I don't know how people who live in tiny little New York City apartments are doing this, because I am grateful for a fenced-in backyard to turn the kids loose in and watch them through the window while working. It's kind of like a bad trip to the zoo. I also wonder, though, if Thomas had listened to what the governor said and stayed at home, he wouldn't have been in the predicament that he is in. So every single year, the Sunday after Easter, we hear this same scripture reading centered on the individual now known as Doubting Thomas, even though the Greek wording there doesn't really reference him as being a complete doubter. It instead is better translated as, these are conditions that must be met in order for me to believe. Well, I guess that was more of a paraphrase than a translation. But for us, this type of thinking is also somewhat normal. We live, or at least we lived, in a society where we expected something before something else could be done. You must mow my lawn and make it look pretty, and then I will pay you. Or, only if you agree that you can contractually meet this obligation will I then sign a contract to take possession of said obligational object. There's a condition that must be met, and we are people who know this all too well. We don't live in a society where we can trust that we pay someone up front for a service only to have to beg them to finally do said service, only to have to find and contract with someone else to do the job that was never performed. In case you're wondering, that was a true story. However, there are a couple of good points here to be made about Thomas's response. From the beginning of all this, it is important to realize and understand that the story is not solely about Thomas. We have taken one section of scripture out of a much larger context, which really isn't a problem because so often pastors will reference the context in which the teaching from Jesus falls in, what may or may not have happened either before or after that particular text, what the historical issues are that may have played an influence in what is happening. Rather, in this instance, the story in its larger context looks at and addresses the different types of responses that people close to Jesus are having in regards to the reality of the resurrection. Looking back to the first 18 verses in the 20th chapter, there are several different initial responses regarding the resurrection to reflect on. Last Sunday, which seems so long ago, we were able to hear of Mary Magdalene's response. We saw the worry and the concern that she had. We saw that concern over the dead body and what she thought had happened to it. That instead of the resurrection, that someone had moved the body to some unknown location. Then there are the responses of the first two disciples that Mary told and their race to the tomb. Peter saw the clothes, the cloth, lying there, and we are literally given no response from this disciple. We don't know what he is thinking, just the literal statement that he saw and acknowledged the cloth lying there. And then the other disciple, the beloved disciple who actually got there first but did not go inside, went in after Peter did, and we actually get a different initial response here. The scriptures say he believed. Yet after this little phrase, we still get that little disclaimer that they still did not understand what was happening at this point. Just after this, though, Jesus reveals his identity to Mary, and she sees and believes and becomes the first to share the message that she saw the risen Lord and has become the first prophet, the first messenger of the joyous resurrection narrative. So just as Mary was able to see the risen Lord there at the empty tomb, so too did the disciples a little bit later on as they locked themselves away in that confined space. At least the disciples minus Thomas, who couldn't keep himself at home. They were able to firstly witness the risen Christ for themselves before the ascension, and Thomas was absolutely bummed he didn't get the chance to see Jesus like they did. Yet there was a similar reaction I saw reading the chapter in its entirety. When the followers of Jesus saw the Christ there with them, their reaction was of shock and joy. Mary shouted, "Teacher!" The disciples, minus Thomas, were overjoyed. And lastly, Thomas proclaimed, "My Lord and my God." These acclaims that they gave shone brightly through them. Their excitement overflowed. It wasn't a completely doubting Thomas as we've come to know him, but it is rather a conditionally expectant Thomas who simply desired what the others had already received. In times like these, I believe there are going to be more and more reactions to the presence of someone in our lives. It has become a welcome reprieve to have a chat from the backyard fence to someone we know out walking their dog around the block. It has been an exuberant feeling to hear the stories that we are hearing from fellow church folk of others who are helping out where and when they can. Food or pharmacy pickup, meals left on porches, numerous calls just to talk, and other small gestures that help out as we continue the decline we have fought so hard for. In these little, what we called before this new normal, random acts of kindness is the peace that Christ has offered to each of us followers there in that closed-off room. And for those who receive that little bit of Jesus from us, they are overjoyed at that simple action. Beloveds, keep it up. Know your pastors are proud of each of you and what you have been doing for weeks and will probably have to continue doing for weeks to come. Let us rejoice that we are no longer wondering how much worse it can get, but at the fact that we did what we could and look at the impact we are able to make when we are united. Grace and peace to each of you. So go and stay home and continue to do the work that God has given us to do, to love one another and to care for each other. And until next time, continue to stay safe and be well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.